This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 23. Today, we're talking about stonewalling.
Hi, this is Kate.
And this is Eric.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where we have fun with growth and connection.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, let's go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you feeling, Kate?
I am feeling nervous. I'm feeling nervous but excited because I'm going back to school soon and I'm never sure what to expect with new kids and everything, but I'm excited to meet them, but I always get this nervousness even though I've been doing it for almost 10 years now. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, I was thinking about how excitement and nervous in the body feel so similar.
Yeah, maybe it's like, yeah, you're right, actually. It's
maybe
true.
It's like nerxcited.
Yep.
I also feel nerxcited.
Okay, let us move on from that word.
Yeah, I feel excited. I have this great energy.
Nerxcited or excited?
I'm excited. and I'm focused and I feel great. So today we're talking about the fourth horseman.
Yes.
In John Gottman's Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. As you guys might know and listen to our previous three podcasts, John Gottman can really predict whether a marriage is going to end up in divorce or stay together based on how these four horsemen are showing up mm-hmm. in your marriage. And today we're talking about stonewalling.
Ooh, the last of the four horsemen.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bad one too.
It's a bad one. It's a bad one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, it's really bad for the person receiving the stonewalling all the time. It can mm-hmm. become very discouraging for them.
It's frustrating.
So, yeah. So let's start by talking about what is stonewalling?
Yeah, so I think stonewalling typically happens, you know, later on in a marriage after people have been through criticism, contempt, defensiveness, right? All these matters of conflict tend to come up previously. And what typically happens when you are being a stonewaller is you are no longer willing to exert any sort of energy when it comes to conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about that kind of fight, flight or freeze mentality, this is like the freeze, right? So you'll sit there and you'll take it, but you just won't respond. You're just totally shut down.
Mm-hmm. Or you'll respond, but you're not listening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
sure. You're
exactly.
Right. It's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are stonewalling responses.
Yeah. And internally what's happening, you know, is like the walls are way, way up. Like mm-hmm. you're totally armored up. You're not really invested in what's going on.
Right.
You're allowing your partner just to overexert themselves. And it doesn't always show up. You know, when we typically think about stonewalling, we typically think about, you know, kind of shutting down
the
and
silent
going
treatment.
Inwards, right? The silent mm-hmm. treatment, which is definitely part of it. But sometimes there's other ways to stonewall, as in, you know, avoidance, always saying you're too busy to talk about things, constantly kind of leaving a conversation in the middle of it. These are different ways that couples stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to recognize this in your marriage, because what it creates in a marriage is that it really stops growth. Because there is no more communication, whether it's about the issues at hand, how you want to grow, what you want, because you're taking everything as conflict and you're just always putting up a wall.
Exactly. And I think the problem is when you're a stonewaller, this becomes your default method when it comes to conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So you get into these bad habits of whenever anything comes up that sounds like it might be conflictual, like it sounds like I might be wrong or this might trigger me in some way, I'm going to run away from it in whatever way I do it. Maybe I run to take care of the kids, or maybe I'll run to do the dishes, or maybe I'll tell my spouse I'm too busy, or maybe I'll sit there and just, yeah, you're right, during the conversation, or maybe I'll just completely shut down. But what happens there is I'm creating this barrier for my partner when he tries to open up to me, and then it doesn't allow for communication to happen. And the longer I'm doing this, the harder it becomes for me, it is for me to communicate, because I've created this like kind of lazy pattern when it comes to communication. I'm not flexing that muscle to practice to communicate better, to practice to talk to my spouse, to practice listening with intent and responding, you know, correctly. All I'm doing is conflict, shut down. And then there's never that like flexing of that conflict muscle.
Yeah. And because immediately it feels like such a safe space, mm-hmm. right? Because you're just totally going internally and the walls are coming up. It, like you said, it does become a total habit. It's your kind of go-to mechanism whenever you feel kind of scared or mm-hmm. intimidated or, you know, confrontational.
Exactly.
You kind of turtle up, right? You kind of go in your shell and you're like, I'll just be here till mm-hmm. things settle down. And then when I feel safe again, I'll come back out.
Yeah.
And like you said, it does become a habit in a relationship where sometimes we're not even aware that we're just doing this right. constantly, right? We're constantly shutting our partner out. Internally, they're not getting in. They're not able to reach us. They're not able to reach our heart. But it does feel like it's totally safe because you're like, oh, this is great. I'm not really expending any energy. I've totally just like shut down. But my partner's going at it. So obviously this is great for her as well. Or, the reason I say her is because when John Gottman talks about this, he talks about that 85% of people doing this in a marriage is typically the man, right? But it's mm-hmm. not always the case. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes we see this as the male partner doing it.
Right. Yeah. But it's not necessarily the case because in our case, I'm the one that does it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think as a partner who's kind of in a marriage with somebody who does stonewalling, it's very infuriating because mm-hmm. so much energy is expended in trying to reach them, right? And trying to get those walls down. So at some point you'll do anything to try to create some form of reaction from mm-hmm. them. And when your partner's extremely infuriated, not only are they seeing their relationship with you is extremely dysfunctional, extremely negative, but also they start to realize that like they're putting in all this energy and long-term you can have a partner who just kind of completely gives up.
Right. And you start losing trust in your partner because if you're not realizing your partner is stonewalling and they're going, yeah, you're right. It's true. I'm going to start doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like they're listening. It seems like they're involved, but inside they're like Charlie Browning it like, yeah. So they're not actually listening to what you do. So when they're like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to start doing that. Like 2 days later, they still haven't done it. And then you're like, well, in the conversation, you said you would do that. And then it makes you realize like, wow, like they don't value what I have to say. I can't trust that when I say something and when they say, yeah, I'll do it, that they're actually going to do it because I'm being told over and over and over that you'll do something and then you don't, or you'll agree with me and then you go ahead and do the exact same thing 5 seconds later because you're not realizing that your partner's not listening to you in those moments. So it's really important for the person who is being stonewalled to see it happening and to try and recognize it so that they don't get to a place where they're completely exhausted from speaking and speaking and speaking, and then nothing is coming through. It's going in one ear, out the other.
Yeah. And just to kind of put a point on this, it ends up being really dysfunctional because I think as a partner, as you're talking to your partner, you give them ideas and you're trying to improve the relationship, and maybe they are a stonewaller, like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll do that. Just trying to get you to end the conversation, mm-hmm. right? Typically what will happen is because that breach of trust happens, because you don't see them take action, you don't see them put things into perspective, oftentimes you start to question everything else they're saying.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. When this person says that they love being around me, is that just something they're feeding me, or is that actually what they feel?
Yeah. When they say they really enjoyed their time on our date last night, is that true? Like, can I believe them?
And mm-hmm. it really doesn't create the space of psychological safety, right? It really takes away from that trust, that safety that, hey, you're being real and authentic and I'm getting to know you deeply. Because I'm not. You have armor up and you're totally blocked off to me. Therefore, exactly. It is a predictor of this relationship's not working because only one person is focused on it. The other person's completely shut down.
So when it comes to stonewalling, the antidote to that is something that you guys have to do as a couple. You need to be open to doing as a couple.
Right.
So what we suggest you do is sit down outside of conflict at a time where both of you are in a good headspace.
Yes.
And you have a discussion about what happens when the stonewalling horseman shows up in our marriage. And it's very important for the stonewaller at that point in that conversation to say, this is what I look like when I stonewall.
Yeah, visually, so, like what's the visual representation of
you stonewalling? So if Eric and I have this conversation, I would tell him, when I'm stonewalling, Eric, I start scratching myself a lot. Right. I'll change my positions of my legs. I'll usually stand in like, for whatever reason, I'll stand in like the yoga tree pose. Like I put my leg up on my other leg.
Oh my God, you do that all the time.
Yeah, like because I stand like that. Well, that's like my I'm nervous stand. I don't know why I do it, but.
But I get it. Like, head goes down.
Yeah, my head goes down. I go to the washroom. I'll remove myself from the situation. I'll mumble or I'll start being a yes man. Mm-mm. That's like later on. Like, this is like 10 minutes in my Stonewall. I'll start, yes. Mm-hmm,
but this
you're
is
right,
all part
yes.
of the patterns you want to recognize.
Exactly. Right? So by me saying this to Eric and creating awareness to him about what it looks like when I Stonewall, when I'm talking and I start, when he's talking and it's a high conflict situation or a possible conflictual situation that he knows like, oh, this usually triggers Kate. He'll start seeing me itch. He'll start seeing me take breaks to go to the washroom. He'll start seeing me, my breathing changes. My voice changes. I get a little bit like scratchy in my voice and I'll get nervous. I'll start moving around more. So he can at that point say, oh, you're stonewalling. And then in that same discussion, you need to come up with something you're going to say or do at that point. So whether I'm strong enough at that point to say, whoop, I'm noticing, I'm stonewalling, let's take 20 minutes, let's go calm ourselves down, or whether Eric is the one who's like, ooh, I can see that you're not really into this conversation anymore, let's take 20 minutes and let's calm down. So the importance of this discussion is because you're together and you're having this discussion together, it's showing your spouse, you as a stonewaller are showing your spouse, I'm willing to work at this. I'm willing to change this bad habit for us to protect our marriage, to protect our trust. So here's what I'm willing to do, but I can't do this alone. I need your help. And it's okay for you guys to work at this together. It's really important to be working at this together.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes what helps is to really slow things down during these conversations. You know, one of the things, I think also the wording is really important because instead of saying like, I see you're stonewalling, we got to take a break. I think
right.
it probably
that's
would
very,
be much
like,
more inviting.
It's very aggressive almost.
Yeah, I think it would be much more inviting if I said, hey, I could see like the way I'm talking and stuff is really starting to push you away.
Right, taking ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I love that.
And saying like, why don't we take 20 minutes and just kind of relax a bit and then we'll come back in 20 minutes and try to wrap up this conversation, right? Because I think a few things you don't want to do, right? Number one, as the person who's stonewalling, when this olive branch is given by your partner, right, who's seeing you and saying, hey, I could see my behavior's pushing you away, the way you don't want to react is to say, no, no, it's fine. Like I'm in,
yeah.
You know, I'm good. And
I've
no, of course you're not. That's, you need to own it and say, you know what? You're 100% right. I've been kind of shutting down. So I'll take 20 minutes. So that's number one, really, really important direction to go. The second thing you want to do is both of you need to agree that when you come back for 20 minutes, this is not another hour long kind of session of going through this again, right?
Yeah, pick up exactly where we left off.
Yeah, you want to take a break, you want to take a breath, and you want to make sure that when you come back, you kind of wrap up this challenging conversation with a few points. And either, you know, if this is a really important conversation, you could put some time on the calendar to talk about it and really sit down and try to navigate it together in a healthy way. Or you can get some help, right? You can do this with your therapist, or you can do it with a coach, or you can do it with a third party and really say, hey, this is extremely challenging for us and we need somebody to help us kind of arbitrate this whole conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
So what you don't want to do is say, you know, you're kind of your partner stonewalling and you're talking about it and it's like, yeah, it's like a 20 minute break. So then we can recommit to 3 hour conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
And then take another break and then take another break. Right. And it's okay to come back from that 20 minute break and say, that wasn't enough. Whatever I did during that break didn't calm me down. I'm going to need 20 more minutes. So that kind of brings us on to our next point, which is what do you do during this 20 minute break? And we say 20 minutes because that's usually the time it takes for your nervous system to calm down.
That's right. Yeah. And I think what you're talking about, Kate, is really this idea of like, how do you emotionally regulate yourself during this 20 minute time frame?
Right.
Right. So what are you doing that you know is calming you down?
Right. And that's very personal for everyone. To some people, they could go and listen to heavy metal and shake their bodies and just get it out that way. To other people, that might be extremely stressful and bring up their anxiety even more. And some people need to listen to calm music. There's all kinds of ways that you personally can calm yourself down. And that's for you to kind of explore and figure out for yourself. But the important thing is that when you come back to your conversation, that you feel your body, your nervous system has come back to a regular state and that you're ready to open up and have this discussion or, you know, close it off so that you're able to move forward from it.
Yeah. And I think this goes for both partners, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in our marriage, Kate, you're typically the one more along the lines that kind of shuts down. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of the aggressive kind of dog with a bone.
Let's like, talk about
figure
it.
Figure this out. Yeah, exactly. I'm the one that's constantly pushing. And I think what sometimes used to happen was, you know, we would take a break and you would go kind of try to self-regulate and kind of chill out. And I wouldn't take that time to chill out. I would take that time to start loading my guns again, right? So that when you come back in 20 minutes, I'm coming in guns hot and I'm like, hey, actually, I've been thinking about this for 20 minutes, but exactly what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm about to really...
And now I'm even angrier.
Right.
And I thought of these five more things exactly. that I can say about you.
So this break is not only for the stonewaller, but it's also for the person who, you know, is sometimes causing a lot of this friction to just chill out and calm down and own your side of the street. Not to go too long in this episode, but I do think that, you know, coming back, when you think about after 20 minutes, you're both calmed down, what you really want to be thinking about is, you know, how do you repair? How do you wrap this up? How do you end the conversation in a positive, uplifting way where you feel connected, knowing, hey, we're going to have conflict. This is an issue in our marriage, mm-hmm. right? But right now, we're not going to solve it all in one day. Right. And we had an episode really about, you know, repair versus resolve. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're trying to get your point across, you're focused on resolving a problem and fixing something instead of creating connection and understanding that, hey, like, you know, this is an issue in our marriage. We're going to continue to work at it, but it's slow and steady. Right. It's 1% every day. It's not all going to get done right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think in order to be efficient, right, and really focus on the long term vision of a healthy marriage, you really need to start taking this one step at a time instead of always trying to get your point across.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. And I think just to wrap up this episode, it's very important as a stonewaller, you take that time to take care of yourself, to connect with your tribe, to make sure you have people to talk to, that you're with your people, that you're able to talk about conflictual things outside of the marriage, that you're doing things to keep yourself healthy, to take care of your mental health, to take care of your physical health, to feel good, so that when you do show up to these conversations, you're coming in as a healthy individual. And that's kind of what we talked about in our first episodes, where we go through our relationship philosophy. If you haven't heard those yet, they're really good episodes to really make you realize what is the basic foundation of a marriage and how can I taking care of myself is one of the main basic things that you need in a marriage. You need two strong people showing up in a marriage. So that's a very important thing for you to do outside of conflict, outside of your those discussions.
Yeah, and so before we leave you, you know, one thing to think about as the partner who typically triggers some of the stonewalling, right? You're not the stonewaller, you're the partner, in this case, me, mm-hmm. right? To Kate, who's the stonewaller. One of the things you want to think about is the 5-to-1 rule, which is, you know, John Gottman talks a lot about this, but, you know, you really want to be focusing on adding 5 positive interactions in your life to 1 negative or conflictual interaction. And this is what a healthy marriage looks like, right? There is conflict. It does happen.
You're going to disagree.
Right. But that whole ratio is 5 positive interactions to 1 negative interaction. Mm-hmm. And so really create awareness around this, right? What are your interactions like with your partner? Do these positive interactions come up? Do you have 5 or 6 of them to every one? Or are you just having negative interactions every single day? Mm-hmm. And as we end this episode, we really want to challenge you to really sit down with your partner, if stonewalling is part of your marriage, and do exactly what we spoke about, right? Have a conversation about what it looks like in terms of what your body looks like when you're shutting down and stonewalling. Agree on what it looks like to throw the flag out and say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, sorry, I just need to kind of take a break. And then commit to taking 20 minutes and coming back and wrapping up the conversation in a really positive way, right? So I highly challenge you to do that if stonewalling is part of your marriage. And also think about the 5-to-1 rule, right? Which is a great challenge. Start mm-hmm. really creating awareness around these 5 positive interactions. I love this morning. You know, it's so funny. I woke up and I have, you know, a challenging work day ahead of me. And Kate put a post-it on my coffee cup that said, you know, I love you so much. You're going to crush these videos, right? Mm-hmm. I'm doing some content. And it was just such a great thing to see in the morning. It was like, ah, this is cool. So simple. But it really made me feel like, huh, you thought of me, which is awesome. You took the time to do this. So that's a positive interaction, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So how are you showing up in your conversations? What kind of interactions are you initiating in your relationship? And if you are doing more of a 1-to-5, well, maybe you can look at those conversations and how can I change and how can I add more positive for the maybe things that are perceived more as negative that need to be discussed in our relationship.
Right. So we really appreciate you being here today to listen to our fourth part. This will be kind of finalizing our Gottman series, and we're going to jump into some other stuff next week. But as always, we appreciate you listening. For everything we do, check us out on evolvemarriage.com. We have our coaching link there. We have some resources for you as well to go into a couple core values, some different questions around intimacy you can ask. And again, we really would appreciate if you share this episode. You know, we do need your help to co-create this movement to really impact marriages all over the world, to try to bring them to a healthier place so that you can grow in a fun and exciting way together.
Bye.
Bye.